This is Steve Goodrich, known on the trail as Bird Shooter, and this is N2 Backpacking, a podcast for both hikers and backpackers.
Hey hikers, it's Bird Shooter, and tonight on the show we are back in the studio to celebrate our 100th episode with Cardiac, Drone Boy, and Therm Rider by recapping some interesting things that have happened in the backcountry in the last 12 years since the N2 Backpacking podcast first aired. On the show, our topic is the Darwin Awards, a recap of some backcountry mishaps that have happened to us and to other hikers and backpackers over the last decade on the trail. This is another fun episode. It includes hikers falling in pit toilets, getting selfies with bears, and backpackers burning their eyeballs, among other things. So it's a great way to mark our 100th episode, and if you have some Darwin experiences of your own, please check out our website and add them to our list. Here is episode 100. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bird Shooter, and this is episode 100. Can I get a whoop-whoop from the studio audience?
Whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop!
There you go, man. It only took 12 years to get here, and in honor of this milestone, we are going to do the Darwin Awards this evening. I'm once again joined by Drone Boy.
What up?
Cardiac.
What up?
Therm Rider.
What's up?
And tonight, we're going to offer up and discuss some of the less-than-intelligent things that hikers and backpackers have done in the backcountry in the last 12 years, since the N2 Backpacking podcast began. So, fellas, welcome to this milestone podcast.
Great to be here.
And it was delayed because I was traveling so much, I think.
True, it was. And so, Gary, you know, we planned around your schedule.
I got to be on your age tremendously. I don't know if the delay was I thought tonight we were celebrating your 70th, but apparently this is the 100th episode, and that's more important.
It always goes. You haven't even cracked a weight joke yet.
It's the weight loss.
Obviously, bulimia has worked for you. You've lost a lot of weight. You look amazing.
Well, what he's dropped and lost, I found.
So. Yes. I noticed the room was tilted. I didn't want to say anything for it.
Well, that's why my chair is creaking a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I got to ask. I mean, we have had this group together for one other episode out of 100. And do you guys know what that episode was? Do you recall?
Episode 78.
It was the food. What to eat in the backcountry.
We ate some crappy stuff that was high in sodium.
Yeah, it was like stuff expired from 54 years ago.
You want to talk about diabetes?
Well, technically, that was Therm Rider and I. We ate some ridiculous number of years expired green beans.
Oh, I think there was some asbestos in it.
I now know why you've lost weight. I mean, that diet seems to really paid off for you.
That was episode 82, Backcountry Thanksgiving, November 2020.
Very nice.
Yeah.
The first one I think we ever did, though, what year was that? I mean, we did, I know Gary and I were on the, Drone Boy and I were on the...
We did Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. That was the
first one, I think, that we did together.
That was from my basement.
With a stand microphone.
Yeah.
This is the first time, though, with Therm Rider since Backcountry Thanksgiving.
That is correct.
So, just saying. But welcome back, Drone Boy, Cardiac, your first time in the newly designed studio. What do you think there?
What's new?
Upgraded?
Tell me what's new.
It looks beautiful. It's unbelievable. I feel like we're at SiriusXM Studios. This is top of the line.
Yeah, if we can get the mic thing figured out. Anyway, any epic hikes that you guys have had since we last spoke? That'd be 2020, so any mega...
Oh, I did the ridge, Franconia Ridge.
Mm. New Hampshire, awesome. White Mountains.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it was the best East Coast hike I've ever done, and harder than any Colorado hike I ever did.
Dude, that's because you had good weather. If you would have had bad weather, though, you wouldn't have probably... Yeah.
No, it was sunny and like 80, 85. Yeah. There was no shade up top. I think three people forgot water while we were up there, so there was like a couple emergencies that came down. But I think if I remember right, it was almost 38, almost 4,000 feet up. within a 2 mile stretch.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And then you go along the ridge for like 6 miles.
It's amazing too, isn't it?
And then you go 4,000 feet down.
Yeah,
you know, in like 2 miles.
You know what's funny? One of my Darwin stories is about ridge? That area.
Oh, man, maybe you should lead off. Actually.
Wow. No, I got a funnier one than that that I'll.
Oh, okay. Well, Derm Rider, how about you, man? I mean, I've been on some hikes with you. Anything that really sticks in your mind since 2020? That's 3 years.
Jeez, I'm thinking just that all the AT hikes that we've done. Yeah. Nothing that really sticks out. I don't have a favorite.
Okay.
But I did
Grayson Highlands too.
Oh, Grayson Highlands. Speaking of the AT, yeah, we were up there.
I did that with the ponies.
Yeah.
That was bucket list
you there, Cardi.
Well, my most recent hike was this morning from my bed to my couch. But
sounds grueling.
In December, I went out to Arizona, and I ended up doing four hikes all over Scottsdale, and Phoenix, and Tucson. So and it's interesting. I mean, there's not a better time of year, obviously, to go than December in Arizona.
But it
was great. Yeah. I mean, it was like 65. You couldn't ask for better weather. And so did a lot of hiking out there in the desert.
Yeah, great views from some of the peaks there. The one that comes to mind for me was Costa Rica, 2021. Went down with the family, spent a week, did a lot of hiking there. It was amazing. First time I'd ever been to Costa Rica.
Oh, what a place.
Have you watched that Reluctant Traveler on Apple TV where Eugene Levy goes to Costa Rica?
Yeah.
And he literally goes to the town that Drone Boy and Stickman and myself were staying in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
La Fortuna.
La Fortuna.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, a volcano.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fortuna, like fortune? Is that what the...
I think.
Yeah, that's what it is in Spanish. Okay. Fortune, yeah. But it's a volcano hike, and it's awesome.
Awesome.
We rode some ATVs around down there. We did some rope swinging.
Yeah. Costa Rica's incredible for the studio audience, listening audience.
They don't care if you live or die. That's how adventurous Costa Rica is.
You don't sign a lot of waivers.
There's no
way. You don't have lawyers standing by.
Yeah.
Like you're at your own risk, but it makes it fun and exciting.
I had a zipline experience there that I did not think I was going to
do. We did that as well.
Yeah, we did. We did a rappel of a 400-foot waterfall, and the guy goes, "Just fall down. Just go down." And we were like, "Isn't it dangerous?" He's like, "No, just go down. Just fall backwards."
And
it's
we'd be in. We're just holding the rope, jumping. Yeah. So, I mean, it was incredible.
Highly recommend it for any listeners that haven't been there. All right, guys. The plan tonight is that we're going to go around the room. We're going to offer up a few nominations for Darwin Awards and then vote at the end of the show on our top three. Everybody good with that?
Yeah, it works for me.
Sound like a plan? The goal is to keep this hiking and backpacking related and to kind of focus on funny events, not tragic ones, which apparently Cardiac didn't get the memo, so we're going to have some tragic ones.
That Darwin usually means the craziest way people die, if I'm correct. Darwin's funniest things and dumb things people do on a hike.
I got some good ones for you where the people live.
All right.
But we're going to start, we'll work our way around the room here, but let's kick out the date the event went down, the location. And then if you can, the details. Drone Boy, you're to my left. You want to kick us off? What research do you have
Let's
for us?
Let's start with this one. It's about, I don't know the exact date, but somebody might be able to update me on the date. I was going to do the time I burned my retinas at the top of Bierstadt.
Wow.
But I decided on this one because this one's even better.
Wow. Are you not going to even tell the burning of your retina story? Because that's classic Darwin. Actually.
Yeah. So Bierstadt, we went, I think it was Memorial Day, 2016, 2017, somewhere around there. And there were four of us, probably about a 13-foot snowpack. And it was gorgeous day. Sun was out. It was still cold. But we hiked up to the top of Bierstadt. And I guess I forgot to put on my sunglasses.
Clearly.
So with the snow, the sun was beating off, and I just got beating off. Yeah.
Also, the guy was doing selfies the whole way up a mountain, and everybody else is hiking. Yeah. That's beside the point.
But essentially what happened was I get down, and we get back to – and there's a fantastic picture of me, Shane, and Scott – or me, Shane, and Steve in a hot tub eating banana bagels, which Scott says is the most disgusting picture he's ever seen in his
life. I was a photographer on that as I was throwing
up. It is fantastic.
They invited me into the hot tub, but I, in today's, Me Too movement, I stayed out of the hot tub.
But I decided to go underwater, and then later that night, I just felt this scratching. And if you've never had snow blindness, the pain is unbelievable. By the next morning, I just couldn't even open my eyes. They were swollen. Went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Listen, there's nothing I can do." He goes, "The dispensary is down the road. Just get high.
He also said that he saw this mostly in 7-year olds.
Yeah.
What?
And, yeah. Well, 7-year olds because they forget to wear sunglasses on the snow. Okay. What Gary is not focusing on is the disgusting point that he burns his eyeballs and decides to go in a Airbnb or VRBO hot tub that hasn't been washed ever and and dive under the pubic hairs floating in the hot tub which his eyes then get burned out and he wakes up at 2 a.m. screaming that he's blind.
I'm dying.
And we of course don't sleep for the rest of the night and have to take him to the ER where we're in line with the other 5-year olds who have issues
and the receptionist looked at me and goes, "Yeah, it's pink eye."
Yeah. And we're all grossed out by that, quite frankly.
It's not pink eye. Oh, yeah. So, so I went and got a brownie. And the lady told me only eat a quarter of it. And I don't know what happened. I guess I ate half of it. And then we went out to lunch. I wound up passing out on Breckenridge.
He handed us his credit card at lunch. Yeah, this is the first time Gary's ever paid for anything.
I did pay for the
entire
lunch.
And the point's lunch is on me, guys. And as he passed out at the table, we were getting stuff to go and using his card. But it was crazy. He didn't make dinner that night.
I thought I remembered that he went through every bit of food you had in the house, too, late night, right? Didn't you wake up and go on an eating vengeance?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I ate an entire loaf of Wonder Bread. You slid me on the couch. You slid me Nutter Butters. And I said, I don't like Nutter Butters. And 5 minutes later, you looked over and the entire box was gone of Nutter Butters.
That's the only thing I did eat.
Wow. So, I think I was high for 3 days.
You got the munchies.
I was super high, super high.
So we can count that.
I count that one. But
let's come back to that. I know you got more, but that was so good. Can we lead that off with that?
We can lead off. Well, remember, the next year, I wound up climbing Quandary for my birthday.
Okay.
And I forgot to put on sunscreen. So I had the sunglasses on, but I forgot to put on sunscreen and got third-degree burns on my face. But my eyes were okay.
Oh, my God.
So Darwinism.
Dumbass things of drone boys.
Darwin itself.
By the way, he's not mentioning when we went and did Angel's Landing and hiked Zion that
I got
so stoned he got lost and we couldn't find him for hours. And we had one of the guys with us who we think got COVID because
he got COVID before COVID
ever
cool.
But he was dying in the car. We couldn't find Gary. It was
and there's no phone coverage. So I was trying to call and there's no phone coverage. And all of a sudden the light's going down, the sun's going down. And I'm like, boy, I'm 4 miles from the trailhead and I don't know when I'm going to get phone coverage.
Wow, we haven't even gone into the big press Darwin and stuff.
And we have our own celebity Darwin guy in studio tonight. This was unexected.
I've lived through every Darwinism that I have, but there's plenty others. I mean, there's plenty others.
But to have that uncovered as we came here prepared to talk about others and realize we have one of our own in
He's
studio.
In the room.
In studio.
He's in the room.
Yes.
Wow. All right. So we'll move over here to Mr. Thermrider. All right, Thermrider, we're going to go to you. You got your paperwork out. I know your research must be good here. Give me some Darwin. Headline.
I'm not that smart, so I have to read. Read mine because I won't remember. So.
This portion is sponsored by Hooked on Phonics. Please go ahead.
I'm a Georgia grad, so give me some leeway here.
Change the speed of volume if you could, Steve.
Okay, so this is actually a news release from Central New York Country Station.
Okay.
Just when you thought you've heard it all, hikers are being asked to stop licking frogs.
Really?
First it was eating Tide Pods. Now people are apparently licking frogs to get high, and the National Park Service has issued a warning about the stupidity of putting poisonous animals in your mouth. The Sonoran Desert Frog, also known as the Colorado River Toad, is one of the largest toads found in North America, measuring about 7 inches. These toads have prominent glands that secrete potent toxin, and it won't get you high, but it'll make you sick if you touch it or if the poison gets in your mouth. So, as we say with most things that you come across in the national park, whether it be a banana slug, unfamiliar mushroom, or a large toad with glowing red eyes in the dead of the night, please refrain from licking. That was the actual release.
So they're licking something 7 inches, and if it gets in your mouth, it's poisonous.
Pretty sure that's not a good thing.
Do you have an actual case where somebody licked one and something bad happened? Or?
There's a link that you can go to. Read more. Read more. You can't make this up. Hikers warned to stop licking frogs. It's bigfrog104.com/stop-licking.
See, I've heard about these things, but not here in the U.S.
Wow, interesting. I see Cardiac over here, like, deep in thought. He must be getting ready to unload on something.
No, I was just, I'm just fascinated by that story and thinking about, as I had researched slightly more
deadly
stories of, you know, fellow hikers that may or may not still be with us. Just trying to think how I can keep this enlivening. And
what do you got, man? I know you got something.
Well,
first of all, like, where did it happen? What was the date? What's the headline here?
So this happened from the top of Mount Everest in September of 2013.
Okay.
This is a Darwin situation where the end result is a mystery in terms of no one ever saw the person again. But he hiked to the top of the mountain. I can say his name. It's Marco Siffredi. And he hiked to the top of Mount Everest, 29,000 feet above sea level. And his goal, and he had tried this twice before, was to snowboard from the top of Mount Everest to the bottom. And there was a storm coming, and they advised him not to try it. And then they woke up the next morning, and he was gone. And when they, with the Sherpas hiking back down the mountain, they looked up, and they saw a snowboarder on top of the mountain, and then he was gone. And when they went up there to look for the tracks of where he may have been to try to rescue him, they couldn't find him. And now we're going on 10 years. And his sister still believes he's still alive, but
wait, his sister thinks he's still alive?
Still alive, yeah.
He's living
in some kind of village.
He's hanging out with the Yetis.
But but the reality of the mystery on that is, let's be honest, guys. I mean, you hike all the way to the top of Mount Everest, which is a great accomplishment and something I think all of us would love to be physically able to do. I'm not sure any of us are, but be physically able to do. But then to say, you know what? Instead of walking down, hiking back down, why don't we get a snowboard in one of the most treacherous, deadly mountains in the world, where so many people have passed away, and that's the quickest way to the bottom.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly right.
Interesting.
Didn't a guy ski this year? I think there was a guy this year or last year actually skied.
But did he not finish? I thought there was an avalanche that got one of them.
I think you're right about that, actually.
I think he skied. I think he may have died, but I remember hearing that same kind of thing. I think his sister thinks that he was alive or something like that.
Well, I mean, it goes back to all the mysteries, right? Like Jim Morrison being alive, Elvis being seen. I mean, we all have this. I think whether it's family or fans.
JFK is Q or something?
Exactly. The grassy knoll. But, the reality is, I think when people disappear, especially in the backcountry or in the woods, we all kind of think they're living off the grid and they're alive when you don't find them. In my research, I found that wasn't necessarily the case. back around to me, I've got an unbelievable story that back in our days when we did get to work together, there was a story from 2005 that I uncovered in 2015 that I was fascinated with.
Okay.
It was a hike in Colorado.
Okay, save it. We'll come back to you.
Absolutely.
So I've got something less tragic. Well, it's actually very tragic, but the person does live in this one. So, you guys know what a pit toilet is?
Yeah, it's you dig it out, right?
It's like they have them in a lot of remote areas.
Did we have it in Machu Picchu?
Yeah, it's like a wooden kind of thing with a pit below.
Yeah, with a big hole. You just crap in a giant hole.
Except the one in Machu Picchu, it was just a hole in the floor.
Yeah, it was just a hole. There wasn't a hole.
Similar.
And by the way, go back to that episode, because how there's shit on the ceiling
of
a pit toilet.
I remember you guys talking about that.
And in the video, there's a video of the pit.
And so what I tell to the audience listening to this, think about that story that Drone Boy just said, and now listen to Bird Shooter tell you what happened to this person.
This is going
to
blow your mind. So the headline is literally, woman falls into pit toilet in national forest trying to get phone. You see where this is going, right?
Gross.
This happened in April 2022, so really fairly recently, not long ago.
She's still in the shower, I assume.
Probably. It happened on the top of Mount Walker in the Olympic National Forest. So
I could not bleach my skin enough after something like that.
Yeah, so this is Washington State, for those that might be unfamiliar. But anyway, the details on this, a woman basically fell in this vault toilet. They're also called pit toilets. Usually they're... My dog have a fur ball there. My dog is disgusted by this conversation.
Yeah, he's right.
Like, Don't go there. Don't go there.
Man. But anyway, these pit toilets, they're usually in remote locations if you're not familiar with them. So usually somewhere super remote. There's no plumbing, obviously. Apparently, the woman, and I'm trying to envision how this happened. The dog just
he's envisioning it as well, and yeah, it's not barely. Turning out very well.
He's too close to my feet.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, if you lean, I mean, if you're reaching in, if you dropped your phone and you're trying to reach in to see if you can find it, you could slip and
so
fall
it,
in.
It's one of two things. Either the woman was super young and it's an iPhone 14, or they're super old and it's an iPhone 8. Mm. One or the other. Can't be like in the middle.
Well, I don't know the age, but let me first ask the question. How do you drop a phone in a pit toilet? You think she's like on the...
Playing Candy Crush.
Well, the first thing is you lick a frog, and then...
That's funny. We're going to talk about that later. I got another one coming up.
Yeah, I mean,
I think she was probably sitting on the toilet and had it in her hands and just lost...
But when you look at most of these things that are happening with all these... a phone is always involved. I mean, the guy that won the Darwin Award last year using a phone doing a selfie on the top of Mount Fuji.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
It's like, how do you do a selfie where you fall off a cliff? And that's, you know, the end.
Well, anyway, here's what happens. So she drops her phone in the toilet. It says in the article that she disassembled the toilet. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. I take that. She either took the toilet seat off or somehow figured out to get the round base off, right? Somehow she disassembled the toilet. And the next thing, I guess she must have had dogs with her because she had dog leashes. And so she basically took dog leashes and secured her body, like tied it around her legs, and then took the other end and tied it around like the stall.
For a phone. Let's get
this straight.
So
that she could reach down in and try to get the phone.
To go into a pit in which probably thousands of people have left their feces excrement.
Oh man!
She decides to dive in to look for her phone.
Well, you know, that's a lot different than dumpster diving.
I just buy the Apple insurance and be done.
Apple Care.
Totally. Apple Care.
This
exactly.
is a commercial for Apple Care. Well, apparently she did not either secure the dog leashes correctly to her legs, or they broke because she fell into the pit toilet.
Yum!
And she's
face first,
head first into the. Yes.
And there goes my dinner.
Yeah, that's right. So glad you ate that pizza earlier. So apparently she spent like 10 or 15 minutes trying to get out of the vault toilet, couldn't get out. And fortunately for her, she was able to get a cell signal and call 911. So she did recover the phone. And it still worked.
Oh, I'm hanging out here with Mr. Hanky.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So
he won't give me a push-up.
She was able to call 911, so the firefighters or the rescuers came. And they had to get blocks down there for her to stand on because she was sunk in all the feces.
That's like quicksand, probably.
That is so disgusting, dude.
And so then they got a harness on her and pulled her out. And anyway, this is the quote from one of the rescuers. He said, quote unquote, "This is pretty unique. I've been doing this for 40 years, and that was a first."
There's not enough shower.
I don't care if it was a block of gold. I would not be going down after that.
I think I'd let that phone go.
Yeah, just going into that Machu Picchu toilet, I'm telling you, I still have nightmares, and you know, I'm triggered by it every now and then.
He's got flashbacks.
It was horrible. It was horrible, but I can't imagine. I don't know that there is any phone in the world. Is there something that you would go down there for? I can't think of anything.
I mean, would you go for your wedding ring?
I wouldn't. I would definitely
not. George lost his wedding ring on the Colorado River, remember? Yeah, right. He's just like, I'll buy a new one.
Yeah, well.
I can't imagine. One of those is you just laugh, walk away, and say, you know, it is what it is.
There's nothing in the world I can think of that I would go down afterwards. Other than, like, you know, saving a life or something like that. You'd have to go down there for saving a life.
Yeah, it would. It'd be kind of funny, though, if your phone was down there and somebody went to use the bathroom to make a phone call and call them.
I don't know if I like anybody that much to go down into a toilet. I'm pretty sure.
Was it the movie Trainspotting where he dives into a toilet? I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that the one where they're in India?
With Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, with Ewan McGregor. He dives into a toilet. I mean, it's,
And it's the dirtiest loo in Europe or something like that.
Man. Should we move on? All right, Drone Boy, you were really hot to tell another tale here, and we cut you short on that last round. What do you got, man?
It was a good one, and I got it directly from – there were two people on this trip, and I got it directly from one of the people. Two people flew – I guess it was into Arizona for a business trip, and one of the people was very, very healthy, hiked, you know, did a few Ironmans, and the other person probably not as healthy during this time.
Sounds like my wife and I.
Yeah, and they get off the plane and they decide, hey, we need some energy before we go and hike Camelback. And so essentially the person that I talked to said, hey, the other person said, let's go to Arby's.
Wait, is one of these one of these people in the room?
One of these people is in the room.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I'll tell the story the way I got it. And then Cardiac can fill in the pieces that I missed.
So we got two Darwin recipients in the room.
This was not one of my prouder moments.
Oh, my God. Camelback is no joke, though, by the way.
I mean, it was my first time, and I was definitely out of shape, as you could relate to.
It can be hot. Well,
yeah, it was hot. Here's the deal.
Your choice was Arby's. And by the way, Steve said he chose Arby's with curly fries and carbonated beverages prior to us going up. And it was 90 or 100 degrees.
Buffalo chicken. Like, I had chicken fingers with buffalo sauce or whatever. It was brutal. And I was so out of shape. And I'm literally on the first part. And the heat got to me. And I just – there's a fence. I'm sure a lot of people have hiked Camelback. But there's a fence along the first part of Camelback. I mean, that's how close to the beginning I was. And I just started hurling, man. Barbecue sauce everywhere. I mean, buffalo sauce everywhere. And the guy I was with hiked ahead and left, and this family with like two small kids said, why don't you hike at our pace?
That was post throw up, right? Why don't you hike with us?
Once I was lighter and I had tossed my cookies, I made it to the top, and we have pictures to show. I mean, they're not great pictures of me, but Steve decided to take his shirt off, which made me uncomfortable. But the pictures are there, and this, yeah, from a Darwin situation, that was on my list. It's not
to describe what just happened in the room, though. He was looking at his computer. I'm telling the story. He's paying no attention. I get to the Arby's. All of a sudden, the eyes light up, and he looks up at me.
Yeah, and by the way, for those Arby's fans out there or employees, Arby's, I'm sure, is great. I've not had it since that day. I'm a little scarred. But the commercials for the boneless wings look great. But I have not gone there on that experience.
Steve said the best part was he's up at the top enjoying the top. And then here he comes. And he knew Scott was down there, like, you know, throwing up his lunch. And Steve, just like he left his wife on Quandary, he leaves Scott down at the bottom. And then he says, like, 10 minutes after he gets to the top, he says, Scott shows up with a fucking family. And he doesn't know the family. And Scott's, like, talking to the family and doing the whole thing. And he's like, did they know that you threw up? And he goes, I don't know.
Unfortunately, there was not a lot of breath mint options on the thing. But I did have water, which obviously
Steve said he didn't remember if you had water. He thought you only had, like, Diet Cokes or whatever carbonated beverages you had.
May have had a Diet Mountain Dew I've learned a lot. Those are my early beginner days. And thankfully, as some of these people that I research are no longer with us, I have learned from those mistakes. And I'm here to talk about them and share this wonderful opportunity through this beautiful studio.
Thank you.
On hiking.
That's funny. Thermrider looks like he's about ready to unload on another story here.
I was just making sure I could still read my printout here. So.
Okay, I got you. Go on to the readers. I haven't seen you with readers lately.
Yeah, I know.
Tell us what not to lick again here.
Well, this doesn't involve licking. So this involves a couple of guys from New Hampshire. So the New Hampshire Fish and Game announced that two adult hikers pled guilty to reckless conduct. And they got $200 fines and $48 for penalty assessments. They were in the Notch State Park, and at 2:15 p.m. on June 11th, a hiker called 911 for help because he was stuck on the side of a mountain in a very dangerous position and was laying under a ledge trying to keep from falling off a cliff. The hiker was unable to relay his position to dispatchers, and was only able to say that he could see the highway, right? Through the 911 tracking, the hiker was determined to be on the east side of the Notch State Park on a feature known as Hound's Hump.
Oh, God.
Near the Eagle. The hiker had been with a friend, both of whom had not followed the trail, but started climbing the steep ledges. The hiker told dispatchers we were exploring, quote unquote, and the friend had been unable to continue ascending. And they got so high up that they couldn't find a way down off the cliffs.
Mm.
The Fish and Game brought rescuers who were also professional guides in rock climbing, and they had to rappel down to reach the first hiker. The first rescue hiker didn't know where his friend was, so the rescue crews had to conduct a huge search to find the second guy. It took several hours to find him due to the steep terrain, but he was eventually spotted from I-93. After drones gathered additional information, the rescue crews climbed up and rappelled down to save the second hiker. The whole rescue operation took over 5 hours, Jesus. And that's not even including the challenging hike back down to the command post right next to I-93, which took more than 2 hours. Wow, after they rappelled down with them.
So they were both on cliffs, basically.
They were stuck on cliffs. Yeah.
What year? How long ago was this? Does it tell you?
This was June 11th, 2023.
Oh, so just recent. Okay. Recent. Yeah, there's some pretty nasty. I mean, you were just talking about the whites earlier. Range, yeah. I mean, there's some nasty cliffs up there, man.
I remember when I did it. You go up, and I think about halfway up, there's a lookout to the right, and you go over these granite kind of things, and I mean, it was probably 2,000 feet straight down on granite. So if you were to, there was no plate, like there was no tracking. You could just go out here and look out. And the granite was not really 90 degrees, but it was probably like 70 degrees. And you could just crawl over the granite if you wanted to. And I saw some people doing it. And I was like, why would you do? Because it's like literally 2,000 feet down on granite. And there's nothing to hold on to. And so I was just like, okay, I don't want to see somebody die. I'm just leaving.
Well, what about Zion National Park with the... when you're walking and holding onto a chain.
Yeah, you and I did that together.
And the width is about, what, 14 inches?
It's legit.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's 1,000 feet down.
That's a good segue into my next one is, you know, 16 people have passed away, have fallen off Angel's Landing to their demise.
That does not surprise me at all, actually.
But it's crazy, and it's funny when you talk about Angel's Landing, and three of us sounds like we've hiked Angel's Landing to success. One of us... I think the
listen.
May have been
I'm
a pussy.
Afraid of heights.
I know I'm a hiker afraid of heights. So what are you doing? Silver Comet Trail, and that's about it.
Get up there, and I get dizzy, and I turn around.
Oh my god!
Wait, did you actually make it to the top?
Yeah.
You did not.
No. They keep making fun of me. They're like, "You pussy,
he
made
stopped.
It to the top."
He stopped, and he goes, "Okay, from here, you guys go."
Yeah. Because it was my third time trying, and it was icy, and I'm like,
"Oh my gosh!" I mean, it was January. It was definitely icy.
We had a very similar experience. I was with Thermrider across the canyon, but I mean, when you got our situation was a 1,000-foot drop. Angel's Landing is probably more, and it was scary, man. Yeah.
We didn't have crampons either.
No, we didn't.
So we were. Just slipping everywhere.
In all fairness, I totally get, like, I would have probably not made it.
You've never climbed to the top of Angel's Landing?
Never have. I've never done the hike.
Oh, with the chain and stuff? It's great. I mean, I love the hike, but I thought it was interesting as I'm researching all this stuff, somebody's like, is Angel's Landing a kid-friendly hike? And they're like, well, sort of. I mean, if they're, you know, holding
kids
on.
Kids are fearless.
But the chain is tough.
I was
leaning back on the chain and freaking people out, but I thought it held pretty good.
That sounds like a Darwin move.
It could have very easily have ended up that way, but no.
This was not the same Scott that ate Arby's, by the way.
No. Yeah. I have evolved tremendously to the point where, and I'm sorry to stop, Thermrider, were you done with your story, by the way?
No, I can be, though.
No, please, go ahead.
No, I'm good, go ahead.
No, but we talk about the hiking, and Drone Boy was nice enough to share one of my... less proud moments in my hiking career. I mean, that ranks up there with the reason I had the cardiac nickname that I was in Utah with Bird Shooter and Tony. And, I thought we were way into the hike, but we hadn't gotten to the trailhead yet. And I was looking for a defibrillator. So thus the cardiac name. But like, as I started researching this and slowly getting into hiking and realizing the dangers out there and some of the crazy things you do and not having enough water, not wearing sunscreen, not wearing glasses, I got really fascinated with looking at some of these hikes. I went through a period where we did 14ers in Colorado, and I always wanted to do Mount of Holy Cross in Colorado. And it's fascinating the mysteries and the deaths that have happened at that. And in 2015, I was reading a story written by a 20-year-old that when he was 10, his mom went missing on Mount of Holy Cross. In 2005, she was 35 years old, mother of four, was with a coworker, and they were hiking to the top, and they made the number one mistake. They didn't have enough water. They thought they had, but they didn't take enough water. They ran out of water. She was having altitude sickness and not feeling well. He made it to the top. His cell phone worked. And he called his wife and was cheering all this. He had told her, he left her about 800 feet from the top and said, why don't you head back down? and she must have got lost, and she's been missing ever since. Now, some of the theories are there's a lot of boulders, I guess, on Mount of Holy Cross where she could have fallen through. But here's what's crazy about this. I read this story. In 2015, her son writes a letter talking about how he misses his mom. He was 10 when she disappeared. Now he's 20. But I just read an update today that in October of 2022, these hikers somehow were way off in the backcountry of that mountain, and they found a very unique-looking boot. Just a boot, and they took a picture of the boot, and the boot matched the picture of the boot that the girl was wearing in 2005.
Okay.
So the plan is this spring, once the snow melts, because once they figured everything out, snow had covered everywhere,
right.
They're going to bring in cadaver dogs to go in and see, you know, what they can find. But it's always fascinating. Unfortunately, it's going to be a sad ending, but it goes back to some of the crazy things and being prepared for hiking. But it's fascinating. There's another one in that same mountain. This guy from Chicago who knew how to hike, did everything. Altitude sickness got him.
Yeah.
You know, 31 years old. He had been missing. They found him in his camp. It was incredible.
You were talking about Camelback earlier. I had an experience where I did Camelback and ran out of water.
Yeah, it's brutal. And it's only a short hike if you look at it from a distance standpoint.
Totally.
But it definitely can get to you.
It was a super hot day, and it's the worst experience I've ever had with dehydration. And I literally was not thinking correctly. And fortunately for me, I ran into somebody that had water, and they gave it to me. But when they did, it was amazing how my just thought process came back. Like, you know, you can completely underestimate how it will mess up your mind.
A friend of mine's son got heat stroke yesterday during a soccer game, and they took an ice cold bucket of water, and he said he couldn't see anything for a while. It was like burning up.
Yeah.
And when they covered him with the water, it changed. It does. It makes a difference.
It's amazing the difference when you get, you know, nourished, whatever you want
to go. And I don't mean to jump ahead into what you may talk about, but I believe you told me a story when you were up in Red Rock Canyon in Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
In which you got lost, or you found people that were lost.
That's true. That did happen there. Actually, you know, that was a karma moment, because earlier I was out there for a conference.
You may want to start from the beginning for the
audience. Yeah. I guess this is kind of Darwin, actually. I mean, God, we got three Darwins in the room.
In the room.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is how well we know each other, ladies and gentlemen, that we can call out mistakes that they're making.
Yeah. Well, you know, so
I'm so happy I'm not the only one, by the way.
Right.
I've got a few, but I'm so happy I'm not.
If Arby's hadn't brought up, they wouldn't have come out.
Yeah, I mean, so this was karma coming back to me, which is what you were leading up to. But earlier, before this went down, anybody that's ever been to a conference in Vegas, and Thermrider, I know you go to conferences there all the time, and I know you guys have been. But, you know, you can only take so much of Vegas, right? I mean, there's a point where it's just like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Hey, you don't sleep when you're on the strip.
Yeah, and so I was at that point. It was late in the week of conference, and I thought, man, you know, I'm just going to go for a hike. So I drove to Red Rocks, which... Of course, there's a Red Rocks, Colorado, but there's also a Red Rocks right outside
of
Vegas.
A 13-mile one-way trail that you can drive in and go hiking all over the place.
Which in that area is really, really pretty. It's amazing. So long story short, I get to a waterfall that I want to see, and I scramble up to this waterfall, and it's not bad going up, but coming out is like super scary. Like you could easily lose your footing, you're toast. You know, maybe your guys that were on that ledge you were talking about earlier, Thermrider, right? Fortunately, I got up there. I knew I'd made a horrible mistake. And fortunately, I was able to get down. But it could have easily gone the other way, right? And I could have easily fallen, and I wouldn't be here right now.
What was this?
This is when we were at Earthlink, so...
Probably 2015?
Yeah, like 5 or 6, 2005 or 6.
Oh, that early,
okay. Yeah. But back to your original point, and then we'll move on.
You were a B cup, I think.
I knew we were going to get back on this simulator. But to your point, I'm coming out, and I fortunately had a good situation, a good outcome. But then there's this lady and her daughter that are totally lost, don't know where they are. It's almost dark, and I helped them find their way out. So it was sort of like a yin for yang karma moment, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the number one killer in the backcountry is actually falling or drowning, or a combination of the two, right?
Well, the other big thing is, and we've all hiked together, but it's when you leave your pack. I mean, one thing when I was researching is how many people say, oh, I'm going to walk ahead, and then either the person behind them disappears, goes off, or the person ahead goes so far out, they end up going the wrong way, and they find themselves in a situation where they run out of food, water, lost, And then it's just the elements that get them.
We actually had a situation, if you guys know the Joyce Kilmer Wilderness, which is Western North Carolina, which is unique in that we had a lead group and then a back group and then a girl that was in the middle with her dog. And
was she part of the group or just individual?
No, she was with us.
Okay.
We were just kind of, we had a front group and a back group and she was in the middle. But she took a wrong turn and we didn't know where she went. We looked for her for like 2 hours, but she went down the wrong trail. But so just because you're front or back does not mean you can't get lost in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, guys. So I guess it's back to me.
It's back to you. Yeah.
Your second. All right. So this is, you guys have probably heard this story. Drone Boy, you're going to love this one because it's a drone user. But yeah, definitely Darwinism here. This is Yellowstone National Park. It happened August 2014, so it's been a while. I guess you guys all know there's pretty strict rules about flying drones now in parks, right?
Yeah. I think Drone Boy was the reason for those
rules. Maybe. So this guy, definitely Darwin Award here. He was Dutch. And
is
I guess
this the one that goes into the thermal?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes into the Grand Prismatic Spring at Yellowstone National Park, plugs it up, apparently. I guess it's like an iconic hot spring. And park officials were super worried that it would damage the spring or ruin it and maybe shut it off. But I guess to his credit, he at least reported it, right?
The chemicals in the battery can affect the hot spring.
Yes.
And so he reported it, didn't make things better, but he's the reason that drones aren't allowed in Nashville. That was the beginning of the end.
I mean, I actually respect the guy that he reported it, right? It'd be easy to walk away and not say anything, but he did report it. Apparently, these springs are amazing. They're like multicolored algae, bacteria, bright, like deep blue, like 200-foot-wide pool. So
that's the problem, is they're so susceptible to the outside chemicals.
Yeah.
They probably burn through the drone.
Right.
And then you've got the lithium ion battery of the drone battery that it just leaks into the system and they don't know what happens. So.
Well, and apparently visitors are not allowed to walk to the actual spring. There's like a boardwalk. You got to stay further away.
There's a great Instagram. Tourons of Yellowstone, I think.
Okay.
And they post all these people. There was this one father and daughter who walk up to the hot springs, and the fucking daughter, who's like, you know, 20, 21 years old, dips her fucking toe in the water. and the father's, you know, sitting there laughing. All of a sudden, the girl needs like medical help because she dipped her toe in the water.
Burned it.
So and they were off
like 300 degrees, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, did you guys hear about the leg they found recently? Like that was just in the last few years.
Yep.
They found a leg in a shoe, floating around in a hot spring.
That's crazy.
But they eventually figured out who it was. It was like some Asian tourist, I guess. They like 70-year-old guy that had. Oh, they don't know what happened.
There's so many jokes I could tell. The Asian tourist goes to Yellowstone. There was an Irish man and there was a clergyman.
Yeah,
sitting in a bar.
To wrap this up, apparently the guy got $3,000 in fines, the tourist, and there's been a lot of people that have been cited since for drone stuff.
Yeah, in fact, I just saw the other day. In fact, the FAA actually goes online right now on YouTube, and if they see you post video from a drone in a national park, you immediately get fined.
Yeah,
they
right.
don't just tell you to take it down anymore. They actually find you.
Sure.
They will, you know, they ask Google, who is this person? Who is it? How did they sign up? And a lot of people just do it because they think, hey, I got some great footage. Well, you were in a national park.
Yeah.
I know Arizona, they're trying to institute like the stupid hiking laws.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. Because New Hampshire was kind of doing that, right? Yeah. Where they fine you, right?
Yeah. There. I think it was something like 600 people had to be rescued last year.
Wow. And, mostly heat, probably.
Yeah. And they're saying it's, you know, cost anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 to rescue these people, you know, because you're bringing in helicopters and. You have volunteers, but you also have, you know, fire and rescue that have to come in, right?
Yeah.
So
it was,
it's like, listen, we're not equipped to fund all of this. You know, we're going to have to find them to pay to be rescued.
Right.
Was,
sure.
Dan Becker, who got Thermbo, I think he was hiking the Grand Canyon. Dan Becker's a big YouTuber. And he was hiking with Eric Hansen, who's the host of ex-host of Backpacking TV. And he got this muscle disease where basically your body starts eating your muscle because you've been working so hard.
And oh, I saw that.
He was in the middle of the Grand Canyon to where they couldn't rescue him. And so he talks about he had just so happened to have backpacker's insurance. And so they – or he didn't have it. And so they got lucky where they could take him out via an ambulance because there was still snow. And they had to plow before they could take him out via ambulance. But he said if he had to take a chopper because he didn't have the insurance, he was going to have to pay like $10,000 or something because mm-hmm. he didn't have the insurance. So he was saying how he's going to absolutely 100% from now on have the insurance.
Well, it's funny. My wife always kids around. She's like, okay, I know you have life insurance and disability insurance, but I can tell you, you fall off a cliff and you break your back, go to the light.
Yeah.
Go to what?
Go to the light.
Go to the light.
I don't want to collect disability and take care of you forever.
I wasn't sure what you meant there. I got you now. That's funny. That's funny. All right. So that takes us to – that was yours?
No, that was you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's me now.
It's on back to Drone. Well, so Drone Boy. Perfect segue.
Now, here, do we want – because I've got – I kind of did this a little bit differently, but the U.S. Forest Service posted, how well do you know your fellow hikers? How smart do you think they actually are? These are actual complaints to the Forest Service from trail users. Escalators would help on steep uphill sections. instead of a permit system or regulations, the Forest Service needs to reduce worldwide population growth to limit the number of visitors to the wilderness. Trails need to be wider so people can walk while holding hands. Ban walking sticks in the wilderness. Hikers that use walking sticks are more likely to chase animals. All the mile markers are missing this year. Trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go uphill. It would help if we put some fast food restaurants at trailheads. Staff, this is Canada's Banff National Park compiled a list of all-time most dim-witted questions asked by park visitors. How do the elk know how they're supposed to cross at the elk crossing signs? Are the bears with collars tame?
That's a given.
I saw an animal on the way to Banff today. Could you tell me what that was?
Sure.
Where can I buy a raccoon hat? Are there birds in Canada? What's the best way to see Canada in one day? Where can I get my husband really, really lost? Yeah. But there's all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, I do have a really good story from a search and rescue guy. This is a kind of one of those old wives' tales. One of the scariest things, and it's written by him, one of the scariest things I've ever had to happen to me involved the search for a young woman who'd gotten separated from her hiking group. We were out until late at night because the dogs had picked up her scent. When we found her, she was curled up under a large rotted log. She was missing her shoes and pack and was clearly in shock. She didn't have any injuries, so we were able to get her to walk back with us to base ops. Along the way, she kept looking behind us and asking why that big man with black eyes was following us. None of us could see anyone, so we just wrote it off as some weird symptom of shock. The closer we got to base, the more agitated this woman got. She kept asking me to tell him to stop making faces at her. At one point, she stopped, turned around, and started yelling into the forest, saying that she wanted him to leave her alone. She wasn't going to go with him, she said, and she wouldn't give us to him. We finally got her to keep moving, but we started hearing these weird noises coming from all around us.
Wait, you know the noises were?
Sasquatch.
No.
Well, it's Jason.
He said it was almost like coughing, but more rhythmic and deeper. It was almost insect-like. I don't really know how else to describe it. When we were within the sight of the base ops, the woman turns to me and her eyes about as wide as you can imagine a human opening their eyes. She touches my shoulder and says, "He says to tell you to speed up. He doesn't like looking at the scar on your neck."
That's crazy.
I have a very small scar on the base of my neck that's hidden by my collar. I have no idea how this woman saw it. Right after she said that, I heard that weird coughing right in my ear, and I just about jumped out of my skin. I hustled her to ops, trying not to show her how freaked out I was. But I have to say, I was really happy when we left the area that night.
Now, have you heard of the Mothman prophecies?
No.
Oh, okay. So that's if you want to find something truly disturbing, Mothman prophecies. They people describe them just like we're talking about, like red eyes. A lot of them have. They say they look like they have wings, but not natural, right? And not really human, but kind of a human form. And it's a weird phenomenon where they show up before major catastrophic events.
There's a film.
Yeah, and there's actually a film about it, and it is super creepy because that's like a recurring theme that they. It's basically something that they don't have enough evidence to know, you know, what the cause or
is it like,
you
know. Slender Man? I mean, I pulled up Mothman.
It's no, I mean, yeah, you'd have to watch the film, but I mean, it's more
it's creepy.
It's super creepy. It's it's kind of like a precursor, or I guess what's the best way to put it? It's a
prequel,
or it's like a premonition. But it's a visible premonition, and that takes form, you know, before bad events happen. So it's, I don't know, I've read about it, and I watched the film, and I'm like, there's some doors that don't need to be open, you know, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't need to know anything else about this, because it's super creepy.
There's a podcast, too.
Yeah, it's super creepy, but it's... Well, it's a real deal. I mean, it's a thing.
What's the podcast called?
Mothman Prophecies. Yeah. But this dude who wrote this, he wrote, and I think it was on Reddit or something that I found it, but he wrote all these stories about people and his rescues. One of them, hiker goes into the Colorado wilderness up Mount Elbert. His lodging called search and rescue at 8 p.m. because they kept calling because they couldn't find him. The search party went out until 3 a.m. They kept calling until the next morning. 9:30 a.m., the lost hiker returned to his lodging, so the lodging called search and rescue. And this guy was part of the search and rescue team that went over to interview the hiker. They called search and rescue, went to interview the guy. The guy said he bounced around from trail to trail looking for a way back to his car. Never could find it. In the morning, he finally found it. Turns out search and rescue was calling his phone from an unknown number, and he just didn't want to answer an unknown number.
Wow.
And so this guy, you know, that's part of the guy, same guy who wrote that long thing, but yeah, I mean,
so that's the Darwin in this. See, like he was getting called by search and rescue and didn't want to answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, gotcha. You know, just when you're out past, if you can't find your place to go, but you got, that's what's crazy. I mean, the guy's getting a phone call. He's got phone signal.
I'm sorry, I'm too busy to answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm lost. I can't answer. Oh, let me look up GPS.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, where am I on Google Maps?
That's funny.
Yeah.
By the way, what's the background on Charles Darwin? I know a little bit, but like why he's become this famous guy for dying.
I mean, Darwin was super intelligent, right? That's a great question, yeah, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's something we should discuss in this podcast. Well, and also Darwin was the species, right?
No.
You know, like
it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah, like, you know, let's get rid of this gene pool. Yeah, right.
Slowest
Darwinism
runner.
Is, hey, these people are weak, dumb, whatever.
They're going to weed themselves out.
Yeah,
basically.
Everybody on you know, cardiac's list dies.
Or it disappears.
That's
accurate.
Everybody else has fun stories.
Are we coming to you, Therm Rider? You got another one there?
I got another one if you're ready for me.
Let's
fire away.
All right. Bring it on.
All right. So not to pick on California, but I'm going there.
So easy.
So this one, this is a decade old story, but it's still happening today. So let's see. Two teens from Southern California were lost for days in Falls Canyon. A spot sitting on top of a vertical wall that overlooks Los Angeles skyline and stands adjacent to a shopping mall.
Thrider, this sounds extremely familiar to your last one.
Yeah. The pair placed a call to 911, but their phone battery died before the call's location could be traced. They were trapped in the canyon with vegetation so thick they couldn't see where they were going, and they were only about 500 feet from the road. I'm sure they were not high, okay? This is California, right? The two teens were rescued after being reported missing for several days. They were described as badly dehydrated and nearly incoherent when they were found. They were drifting in and out of consciousness, and one of the people that were rescued asked the rescuers what year it was. That's how messed up.
Wow, sounds like they were in bad shape, man.
The rescuer said that she was filthy from head to toe. Her lips were black with dirt. Her eyes were barely open, and she had no shoes.
Wow.
And the sheriff's deputy, who was also a paramedic, airlifted one of them out of the canyon, said that her mouth was so full of dirt, rescuers feared that giving her water would cause her to choke.
Wow.
Isn't that gross?
Yeah. Jesus.
The year before the teens went missing, there were 560 search and rescue efforts carried out in Los Angeles County, and authorities suggest that the proximity to skyscrapers and shopping malls lures many of the L.A. area hikers into false senses of security.
I could totally see that, right? Like, you live in a big city, you don't have a lot of experience.
I lived there for 10 years. Yeah. I went hiking. We did mountain biking down, you know, we would take a truck up to the top of the mountain bike down to the bottom of the mountain, and another truck would be sitting there waiting for us.
Yeah.
It's an outdoor area. L.A. is. You could literally... Part of the reason I loved L.A. was you could be at the beach in the morning and the mountains in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great about California. I mean, California's got some of the most amazing...
So amazing.
I mean, I was kind of making a joke earlier, but California's got some of the most beautiful country in our United States.
Well, and that's what I love about Georgia as well, because it's 2 hours, you're in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. It's 45 minutes in the mountains. Yeah, it's 2 hours to the ocean.
Right. Five hours and you're... You know, on the Gulf.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And we don't have to deal with all the hurricanes.
True.
Very true.
Are we coming back to you?
Yeah.
Is it back to you, Cardiac?
Yeah, it is. A couple things, though. One, we were talking about insurance, and I think you guys were with me when we were in Colorado. You know that whole thing where you buy a fishing license and it covers one rescue or something?
Search and rescue.
Doesn't it? So it's worth the investment to those out there, I think. As you've heard some of these stories.
It's like $30 or something. Yeah, $35.
It may be super cheap. But, you know, we were going back through the history of Darwin, and we were talking about going back to your story, Bird Shooter, about the lady who dove into a pile of shit for her phone.
gross.
Like,
so you're not going to forget that one, Ace.
27 years ago, six people drowned while trying to rescue a chicken that had fallen into a well in southern Egypt. An 18-year-old farmer was the first to descend into the 60-foot well and drown, apparently by an undercurrent, and then five other people proceeded to do the exact same thing. So these are some of the originalities of where Darwin comes in. There was a guy who had supposedly this jacket that was really going to be proof, and he took a knife and tried to stab through the jacket, and unfortunately he met the demise as he found out the jacket wasn't as stab-proof as it was advertised. So these are just some of the examples of it as we were talking about different things. But in most of my research, I was looking at just the mystery of hiking and some of the things that people come across.
Yep.
But I think at the end of the day, it's about being prepared and all that stuff. So I don't have any more Darwin stories other than when we talk a little bit about the Charles Darwin history and stuff. So I'll turn it over to you.
I got a good one.
Let's hear it.
I'll
be the judge.
This is a classic.
By the way, that chicken better have golden eggs for me. I risk my life. I'm like, it's a chicken, man. I think it's like $5.
Six people drown? I mean, like, how many people does it take to rescue a chicken?
That's a fucking golden chicken, dude.
I know.
Apparently a lot. That's funny. All right, this last one's pretty classic if you guys are ready for it.
Fire away.
So this actually happened 10 years ago in May of 2013. So it's been out there for a while. It happened near Boulder, Colorado, a park that's pretty close to the city, but you know, somewhat remote. Like, there's some really pretty peaks and trails and stuff.
Yeah, Estes Park is out there too, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't have to go far, and you're in the wilderness.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, what happened was, this went international. So this had like not just U.S. news, not just Rocky Mountain news. I mean, this like it picked up by news feeds everywhere. Apparently, there was a they were roommates. They were basically students at the University of Colorado, and I guess one of them was a female. And they had gone hiking, which sounds pretty innocent, and they decided to take magic mushrooms. Oh. Now, what can go wrong when you take some magic mushrooms?
If you take the full brownie, you got a problem. I can tell you're high for 3 days.
Mm. Oh, God. Well, I mean, Thermrider, have you heard this at all? Is this the first time you're hearing it? Okay. So, like, apparently they were all roommates. The female was the one that basically caused the 911 call. The males were the ones that called it in. Apparently, they were all doing mushrooms. She apparently stripped naked and then proceeded to try to kick the shit out of the two guys.
What's up?
So she's fighting them, and they're not sure what to do with her.
They're in the process of probably taking pictures. I assume they're already
10 years ago.
Yeah. So they call 911. We need help. We have our roommate who's, you know, running around naked and trying to kill us.
Violet.
And so now somebody made the comment.
It sounds like one of my ex-girlfriends, actually. Yeah.
Like, if you... You know, like, if you or I call the cops, they show up, what, in 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, like, one or two. 35 people showed up to try to rescue this woman. Like, 35 rescuers.
I absolutely am familiar with this story. And
you know why?
She's going to need to be wrestled
down. They started out the call with, we have a naked roommate in her 20s that's trying to kill us.
Did
that's
they
true.
Say,
like, oh, really? Yeah. We got to see this.
If she was a 10, did they talk about that at all?
If she what?
Was a 10?
I've seen pictures. She's very attractive.
Oh, there's pictures?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah, very attractive.
Like, that will attract every cop from every donut shot, like, for 60 miles, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, apparently they ended up handcuffing the college student and put her in a rescue basket, and she was trying to still, like, you know, she was still fighting everybody and took her to the hospital.
What's a rescue basket?
That's a helicopter?
Yeah,
thing?
Well, I mean, yeah, but they were just trying to get her in something to
like
restrain her. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with that term. So.
Yeah, and then she got charged for a controlled substance. So.
Yeah.
Well. But, you know, that's when hiking. You know, it's amazing as I was doing some research, the number of times people did mushrooms and they were hiking and something went wrong. It's ridiculous. Like, if you do a Google search
of mushroom hiking,
oh my God, it's not a good thing. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't end well.
It doesn't sound like a good thing to do. I'm tripping balls and I'm in the middle of the woods. Yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah, totally.
Have you guys been following that story of the lady who was on the American Airlines flight and went nuts and said that guy, the plane's going to blow up and all that stuff?
Oh my gosh.
It's going crazy. And now that, you know, her name has been released, but when you watch the videos of her screaming, there's someone on that plane. I'm not, that guy's.
That's Bridesmaids, dude. Remember the movie Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
She's like, there's someone on the wing of the plane. Yeah. Kirsten Dunst. No, it's not Kirsten.
It's like a Rod Serling.
Who she is.
It was that.
Kristen Wiig.
Yes.
Kristen Wiig. She goes, there's someone on the wing of the plane. And they have to land the plane and stuff. Yeah. She goes nuts. I mean, that's Bridesmaids all over again.
Well, I'm telling you, anyone that causes a commotion like that should be banned from flying for a little life.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, we don't need crazy on the airlines, guys.
Yeah, agreed.
FYI, you always have crazy on the plane.
Oh. Yeah, that's accurate.
It's general public. You've always got
isn't
crazy.
Isn't it weird?
On the plane.
Like, yeah, in the past totally. 5 years, it's got like the crazy level has gone up, like not just one notch, but like 20 notches.
Yeah, the cheaper the plane ticket, the crazier the people are, too.
Yes. By the way, can we have $2,000 plane tickets to get rid of the crazies?
Yeah, agreed. So, are we still going? Do you have any more? Because I got one for honorable mention.
I got nothing left.
Okay.
Yeah, fire off your honorable mention. Let's hear it.
You know what? The honorable mention requires a video watch, and I'll have to pause it for you to see the video.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But you got to come around and see this because it'll blow your mind. Then we got to talk about it.
Sounds good. All right.
Well, you know what? Let me lay it out for the listeners because they can't see the video.
Can they access the video anywhere?
They could. It's on YouTube. Yeah, it's on YouTube. I can put the link in that. That's a great idea. Thank you for that.
That's what we're here for.
Link in the description. Like and subscribe.
What we're really going to watch is Snoop Dogg, the performance at Lakewood on Wednesday. So we'll be right back.
Oh, is he playing? Is he really playing?
No, this past Wednesday he played.
Oh, yeah?
My wife went with a neighbor.
Oh, that didn't surprise me.
Does that surprise you at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah, my wife likes to shake her ass, so it's all good.
Yeah, well, that's why you married her.
That's exactly. You're right about that.
Sure, she'll love listening to this podcast.
Hey, so the headline on this one is woman takes selfie as bear sniffs her hair on hiking trail in Mexico. So I'm not kidding you. I'm going to show you the video.
This is Toron. Torons of Yellowstone Instagram. This
totally
is all
agreed.
Over that.
Yeah.
Wait.
I mean, before you see the video, before you see the video, let me tee it up because the listeners are not going to get to see the video like during the podcast.
Yeah, but they can click on the
link. I mean, they can't click on it, but and you'll have that option here in a second, but. Essentially, and we'll comment on it after you see it, but the video starts, there's three people hiking on a trail. There's a fourth that's obviously filming all this, right, that you can't see. And, you know, they look younger, like a couple girls and a guy, they look younger. Young black bear approaches them. So, you know, they're just hiking. Black Bear comes up. Black Bear walks up to one of the younger girls, gets on its hind legs, sniffs the girl's hair. She probably had just washed it. Probably smelled good. Bear's fascinated with it.
Any chance that the bear's related to Joe Biden? Did they talk about that at all?
Did he start nibbling on her shoulder? Yeah. Like, awkwardly and kind of weird? Kind of freaky.
I'm pretty sure that didn't. The people in Mexico don't care. But anyway, so the woman, dude, when you guys see the video, it'll blow your mind. Like, she's super calm. Like, everybody's super calm. It's crazy how calm they are when this is going on. And the bear, like, standing next to her, and she literally takes her camera and does a selfie as the bear is standing up on its hind legs right next to her. Like, almost, I mean, you're going to see it. Video. It's amazing. And she takes a selfie. And so then the bear, it's almost like the bear got his selfie and just drops back to four legs and starts walking off like it was totally planned. And then decides, okay, it smelled pretty good. I'm going back for more. So goes back, and it almost looks like it kind of takes a little nip at her leg, but obviously didn't bite her because she doesn't freak out. I'll leave it at that. I'll let you guys... I'll put the link in the video. You can come and check out. I won't ruin the what happens
from
here.
We're in suspense. The bear has started to come back, and that's where we're at.
So So we're going to stop right here. You guys ready to come and look at the video?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, come on. Any comments about the video? You guys just watched it. I mean,
I got to tell you, I consider myself sort of a brave person, but these girls blew me away. Yeah. Have the bear all over her and her just stand there like it was a relative or an uncle.
I mean, do you play the Darwin card here? Bravery card?
It's a tough call because I don't know what their options were, but the only thing I wish we'd have seen outside of the video, and Drone Boy brought it up, would have been to see the selfie taken.
Yeah.
You know, what the picture looked like.
That would be awesome.
I mean, it is definitely – I mean, I think it's – I'll let the audience decide at the end if it's Darwin qualifying. But I think the calmness in these girls –
It's just amazing.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Totally agree.
I thought it was Prozac Nation. You're either high or on Prozac. No way. It's like the lack of reaction.
Well, I mean,
I can tell you, I wouldn't react that way.
To bring this full circle, they either licked a frog or took a magic mushroom, I think, to stand there and deal.
There was some frog licking.
Let's just say I was higher than they were in Breckenridge after I got my eyeballs burned out. But I think even at that time, I might have turned and run from that freaking bear.
The girl, like, is so
There's
calm.
No way.
It's ridiculous.
I didn't see the selfie being taken.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a bear. The claws are like, you know, razors.
You mean, take a nip at my leg? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be calm about that.
No.
Yeah. No.
No, that would have been... I mean, she just stands there and, like, the guy's trying to make a first move, and she's like...
I wonder if she had an Apple Watch on to, like, see her heart rate or something like that.
My heart
rate would have been at least in the 180s.
Well, I'm just thinking, what kind of guys is this girl dating?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, come on.
Thermrider's interested.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, some of these guys must be a real shit show.
Yeah. Well, if I could, to close this up, if I could recommend, the National Park Service actually has, they used to have the morning report, which was fascinating because all the park rangers would write, you know, like stuff that happened, which was super interesting. You wouldn't believe all the crazy crap they deal with. But now they have an incident report, like a. It's basically NPS.gov news releases, right? A lot of it's people that go missing, which we've talked about.
Right.
But definitely, if this sort of thing interests you, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. You know, man, N2 Backpacking Podcast been out there 12 years. I mean, we've had all this happen, and we only picked a few in 12 years. What does the next 12 years bring us?
Future of podcasting will be AI-driven. We won't even have to be in studios. It'll be like, here's the topic, and we're going to use voices.
And these are great trails to go on with a walker.
Hey, so can we finish with picking our top three from the night, like our three favorite?
Sure. I'll start because I think right off the bat you got to go with somebody in the studio burning his eyeballs.
No. Arby's wins.
No way. I think going up there, taking selfies on a mountain, quitting, not
Dude,
making the peak,
killer.
And then ending up blind.
So Thermrider, your favorite Darwin moment?
I think the bear thing just freaked me out a little bit.
It took you? Wow, man. Okay. All right.
You know, I have a thing with bears. So for me, you know, anything with bears always catches my attention. So.
I'm going to go with the pit toilet, man. I can't imagine going into a pit toilet to get your phone.
Ugh.
I mean,
naked woman do.
I mean, that's interesting. Yeah.
The bear thing just kind of happens to you. The pit toilet, you chose to go in for your phone.
Yeah, that was exactly. A bear coming at you. I don't know if that's a Darwin thing because you didn't run.
But you're not going to die from that, right?
Well, you could. Septus.
Have you heard about
hepatitis? Flesh eating bacteria.
Yeah. It doesn't sound good.
Without a doubt, that was the grossest thing.
No doubt about it. You're right. That was a choice that the lady made that, to me, ranks up there with Darwin.
Agreed.
Right.
Yikes.
Wow. Okay. Well, fellas, thank you for trekking to the studio tonight. Y'all drove up here. I really appreciate it, man. 100th episode. One more time, man. Can I get a whoop whoop?
Whoop whoop.
There it is, man.
Live studio audience.
Yeah, agreed, man. Any final thoughts, fellas? Any recommendations for people, since we apparently have three confessed Darwin people in the room tonight, to not be a Darwin?
Stay away from Arby's when doing a hot hike.
Curly fries, I think.
Wear sunglasses at all times, even when it's overcast and you're on snow.
Sunscreen.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. And don't lick frogs. Those were our lessons.
Yeah.
Those are good ones.
And by the way, the phone's not worth it.
Let the phone go. Get the insurance.
Buy the insurance.
Yep. Apple Care is worth it over shit diving.
Yeah, insurance for backcountry insurance. I think it's called backcountry insurance, the fishing and stuff. Get that one and phone insurance, I think.
Yeah. Okay. There you have it. Well, Leighton. Fellas, thank you for joining the show.
Thanks
tonight.
For having us.
I hope I'll be around for 200.
Yeah, 200. Me too, man.
Me too.
You've been listening to the N2 Backpacking Podcast. This is your host, Bird Shooter, wishing you the best for your travels on the trail. To subscribe to the show, visit iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, or your favorite podcast app. And give us a thumbs up or a positive comment while you're there. You can also stream shows directly from n2backpacking.com. Just click the podcast tab on the main menu. Music from the show was provided by Jerris under a Creative Commons license and is titled Hillbilly Anarchy. The show is a production of N2 Backpacking and is copyrighted by N2 Ventures, Inc. For more information on this podcast or to provide feedback or comments on this or future shows, please visit us at n2backpacking.com. That's the letter N, the number 2, backpacking.com.